Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Here's where I get stuck. I can imagine that scientists will find life somewhere out there in the universe. What I can't imagine is what'll happen next. Thank goodness for science fiction writers. Let's turn to Orson Scott Card, one of the best-known science fiction writers alive. His classic novel Ender's Game appears on every top 10 list and is a classroom staple in high schools and colleges. This weekend, Ender's Game opens in movie theaters around the country. Steve Paulson reached Orson Scott Card at his home in North Carolina and asked him about first contact scenarios.
I want to take you back to the very first book, Ender's Game, because one of the big questions is how we on Earth would respond to the news that we've made contact with an alien species. Why did this idea interest you?
It only interested me really because it's happened time and time again in human history. We are constantly running into people that seem strange to us, people who speak different languages, people who look different, have different racial characteristics, have different customs, don't subscribe to our worldview, don't share our religion. These contacts have almost always resulted in quite awful things happening. The constant is that we are frightened of what is different and new, and yet we're attracted by it. We're drawn to it.
And it seems to me that the stakes get raised quite a bit if we don't actually understand this other alien species. I mean, let's just sort of speculate how this might work. I mean, let's suppose, as in your books, there is this entirely different kind of intelligence, what you describe as the formics, as sort of this ant-like species, super intelligent with a hive mind. We don't know how to communicate with them, and so we don't know.
Yeah, they've never developed a language, but I was consciously working with the fact that when Columbus first came to the Americas, he brought with him interpreters who could speak or make themselves known in every language that he could think of. And so he wrote in his log, "The natives here have no language." Well, that is literally true in the case of the formics. They have no language. They have no need of it. They communicate in a way that is beyond, above, behind, below language, so that words never became necessary. Their memory is excellent, and they share memories. They have memory dump capabilities between individuals. And so there was never a need for any language to evolve.
And of course, what happens in Ender's Game, there's war at first contact, and the aliens attack Earth without realizing that the humans are a sentient species because we're so different, we do not have the hive mind.
Yeah, they were at least as bigoted as we were in this story because they assumed that any sentient being they met would be like them, that is, with a central queen who was the mind of the group, and a bunch of expendable workers. And so they signal their intentions by killing a few workers. It's not a big deal. No reason to fight a war. And so they think they are trying to communicate, but the result is humans are dying, and we've got to put a stop to it. And we do. There's no doubt in Ender's Game or Ender's Shadow that humans have a right to defend themselves and certainly have a reason to defend themselves. The tragedy is that we think the enemy's purpose is malevolent, whereas once they fail to establish this colony, they really intend to leave us alone. They have no interest in running up against us anymore, but we don't know that and have no way of knowing that. They attacked us once, we assume they're going to attack again, and as any good military thinker knows, what do you do with an enemy like that? You take preemptive action.
Well, let me make this a little more personal for you. Suppose there was news that an alien species, a highly intelligent species, was moving around our solar system with the capability of coming to Earth. Would you be scared?
That news has been circulating since the first UFO sightings. I just don't believe it. So what you're really saying is it has to be credible news. It has to be news coming from
right.
a credible source.
Credible news, yes.
So in that case, you know, I'd be among the last to hear, naturally. I have no inside line. And so it would be covered by the news. Now, what way would it be framed? How would that contact have been made? If the news is, this is so exciting, they're talking to us, they're coming to Earth to visit, that suggests one kind of communication. But if the news is, several humans have been killed, a ship has been exploded, you know, our satellites are being swallowed up, that's a different kind of news. It's never going to come as just, whoa, aliens have been found. we're going to be told the nature of the contact, and we're going to make assumptions based on the nature of the contact. But let's say the communication is excellent, and these aliens are going to be visiting Earth. They come from Earth-like planets, or they don't. If they don't, we're pretty safe, because we've got nothing they want. They're going to want to find a world that's like theirs, and they're not going to be able to make much use of worlds that aren't. But if they're like us, if they can breathe our atmosphere, if they use the same kind of life principles that we use, then I would not be so much scared as suspicious.
Now, of course, there's another dimension to any kind of first contact, and that's not just how would we respond to the aliens. I mean, you know, would we go to war? Would we try to, you know, negotiate with them, whatever? There's also, what would we do among ourselves? The way this plays out in your Ender's books, there is massive political realignment. There's a common enemy out there, and warring parties on Earth have to somehow come together to deal with this threat.
Well, when the aliens show up and their first action is to start terraforming Earth, that is, remaking it, wiping out our biosphere, killing every human that they find, that sort of focuses one's attention. That's just history talking. Mm-hmm. But if they come in a way that is not hostile, not obviously murderous on its face, then we start competing for their attention. If it seems like they might be bringing benefits, then aren't we going to be furious if they go first to London or first to Beijing and not to New York or Washington? History is the great teacher. If you want to see what human beings would do when aliens showed up, see what China did when the Spanish showed up with silver to trade, or see what the American Indians did when the Spaniards showed up, or see what Africans did when Europeans came offering money for slaves.
Most of those examples that you just gave, I mean, the history is not pretty there, especially for the natives.
Well, not always especially for the natives. You know, when Europeans showed up in Africa, the Europeans died like flies because we did not have immunity to the diseases that were endemic in Africa. We were sitting ducks, kept Africa safe for a long time. The reverse was true when we came to the Americas. We had diseases that they were not able to cope with. And so most of the time, Europeans were moving into a decimated population.
Now, there's also a science question at the heart of this kind of story of contact with an alien civilization, and that is whether some other kind of civilization would be very different than we are, as is the premise in your book. Do you accept that basic premise?
Well, we only have one example of high intelligence that has done what humans have done, which is we have moved our evolution off the gene and into the meme. So that genes are now nearly irrelevant to human evolution. We now are able to allow human beings who have bad teeth or who have genetic defects or who are susceptible to various diseases, we now are able to survive because we are able to pool our knowledge, pass it from generation to generation, from culture to culture, from tribe to tribe, from nation to nation, so that human progress is able to spread throughout the species independent of genetic survival. So we have to assume that that's the only kind of alien we're likely to have come to us because they will have a technology that requires that. We'll have common ground.
Of course, another thing that might happen is they might be us. You know, we might be going out and colonizing a galaxy. Do you think that's in our future? Does it have to be in our future if the human species is going to survive?
I think it would be highly desirable. You know, right now, we're still completely vulnerable to the random asteroid strike, to another star or heavy object passing near our solar system. We have no guarantee that the asteroid that will wipe out all life on Earth is not 10 years away from us right now on a collision course with us that we simply cannot evade. It's, you know, curtains. The only defense against that is to have dispersed. And so while that sounds really improbable, while Newt Gingrich is kind of ridiculed for saying, we're going to put a base on the moon, the truth is somebody somewhere really should have the vision to prepare to defend Earth against the asteroid strikes that are avoidable and to disperse the human race to other habitable worlds where we can become self-sustaining populations so that an asteroid strike doesn't wipe us out.
Of course, there would be all kinds of moral and ethical issues that would come up if we start colonizing not only the rest of the solar system, but beyond.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you go to another world, either it has life or it doesn't. If it doesn't, then it's not going to have an oxygen atmosphere. Our oxygen atmosphere is the result of life on Earth, not the cause of it. life evolved in a methane atmosphere and changed it. The oxygen we breathe is the product of life. And so what we're going to find is that if there's no life, then it's going to take a long time when we introduce life to make it habitable by human beings. If there already is life, the only way to make it life that we can use is to come in and basically short-circuit the development of that life into what it was going to naturally evolve to and take over the world. Now, personally, I have no problem with this. We're life. That's one of the things that happens. If we're not wiping out a sentient species, my answer is, yeah, we do have a right to defend ourselves against future asteroid strikes or other astronomical disasters by establishing ourselves on other worlds.
Orson Scott Card is the author of the science fiction classic Ender's Game. The book's just been made into a movie, which opens this week. Steve Paulson reached him at his home in North Carolina.